Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida. I'll explain how we got here. I mean, it's been a whirlwind of a few weeks. I'm coming to you live from Delray Beach because here's how the schedule went. We taped a bunch of episodes beforehand with Eric Bergstrom. That was great. Josh Adam Myers. We did the live podcast from San Francisco. What an episode. You should all go listen to it. It was so much fun. The people that came out, thank you. Thank you for coming out to the shows. LA, sold out. San Francisco, sold out. San Francisco Live Pod, sold out. San Francisco Stand-Up, sold out. Sacramento, where I had heard going in, is a tough place to go because it's not exactly in the cool section of town. And we know what the cool section is. They said it's midtown in Sacramento. But like, they don't, people, listen, I understand that the wide swath of you are in a certain group of people that wants to be in the cool section of town with a bar next door, with an Uber waiting for you outside that takes you to the late night food place that puts you directly in bed and tucks you in. I get it. And some of these comedy clubs are, you know, where the people used to go, or in a strip mall, or really anywhere they can afford the rent, which you got to understand too. So getting people to the Punchline in Sacramento is, I was told, a feat. And guess what? The Feather Nation came through. Oh, did it feel good. You guys came out in San Francisco, Sacramento, LA, we planned the show 2 weeks ahead of time, a week and a half to sell tickets, and it was sold the F out. Unbelievable. It feels, I mean, listen, I always talk about how good it feels when you guys put up your Instagram story, put it, your tweet it, DM me, let me know you're listening. It feels literally like I'm out, like I'm in the middle of the country. I'm out in a cornfield. You know, you see the wind is blowing. We don't have sound effects today because Shelby's gone. I'm in Delray Beach, Florida. And I'm just sitting there standing. I'm standing this time. My balls are beneath me. And then below me, those little corn husks are gently grazing. That's how it feels. When you guys come out to shows and you tell me how you started listening and who in the emails of yours that I've answered in the past, it's really an unbelievable thing, and I'm very excited that you guys are enjoying. I love doing this, so I love that you're enjoying it as much as I love doing it. I even had one guy come up to me and goes, "Hey man, thank you. You recommended Hinge on the podcast," and then he points at his girlfriend and she goes, "She used Hinge because you said to do it. Now we're together. We're a happy couple. Wouldn't have happened without you." To me, that's, you know. You know, that's like a Kevin Bacon. How many degrees of separation do you want to give me credit for? But listen, I'll take it. I'll take the feathering. I'll take it right up the seam of the nuts. I'll take it. So what happened was, we taped How Low Will You Go? You can go on Snapchat and keep watching those. You guys watching those has been very helpful. It's one of the highest rated, as I don't know what the rating system are, but it's the most one of the most watched Snapchat shows that they have. And apparently people watch these and listen. It's like a podcast, you know, you only know what you know. So I know how to find podcasts. I know which ones are popular, which ones are not. And I know the method of the madness. I know the app and I know where I hear about podcasts and I'm in the game. Snapchat, I'm not in the game as much. I've never watched a show on Snapchat. And when they asked me to do the show, I was like, of course, it's a job. And we'll get back to that in a second. It's a job. It's nice to be, and I said, let's do it. And it's a job where I can be funny. It's dumb. I'm dumb. I like doing dumb shit. I like going to the college football games. Seeing the country was an amazing experience. Looking back on it, I'll probably look back on it and go, what the fuck was that? So they basically, when we taped How Low at USC, when they played against Cal, and USC, beautiful school. You can go to my Instagram stories, my highlights. I talk about USC and how beautiful and nice the school is. And then we went to, then I went and did the show in LA, San Francisco, unbelievable town. I mean, like it's crazy. The hills and the food and the drinking and the people. And then we went to Sacramento, which is covered in smoke. I don't know what you've heard about the smoke that's going on out west, but Sacramento is an issue. I mean, it looks like it's Armageddon. It looks like Walking Dead. Like it's the world has ended, and there's smoke over the sun. It feels like you're on Mars. And did the show out there, then came back to LA. USC played against UCLA at the Rose Bowl. We did our last episode of How Low Will You Go, and I'll say, listen, I would never bullshit you here if I didn't really have a good time doing it. I would just go watch it, and then I would stop talking about it. Everyone, it's nice to work with good people, and everyone there was a professional. They were kind. They were fun and funny and got it, and that makes my life easier because my job is the easiest of them all. I have two people come up, and I get to fuck around. I get to look at them and go, look at you, idiot. Look at you, idiot. Let's make the game. And it's physically tiring, but listen, all these people are doing more work than I can ever understand and that I don't know. So, but it was cool to have everyone come together to do their jobs and do it well and have fun together and enjoy each other's company because I really do like everyone that I worked with on that show. So we're going to do more, which is exciting for me. It's and I just like I said before, and I said I'd get back to it, having for me, when you know my job isn't a job. My job, there's no clocking in and clocking out. I've created a lot of nice things for myself as far as the podcasting is concerned and doing stand-up, and I have schedules that revolve around those, and it's why I'm taping from Delray Beach because, listen, I'm clocking in right now. Got to get this in for Friday. I got to make sure you get your post-Thanksgiving trip away from your family. That mental trip that this podcast gives you. Believe me, I get it. Time to have quiet time without Uncle whatever his name is telling you how successful their kid is. He can go fuck himself. So I clock into this, but it's nice to go and as a comic where there's no job description or no thing to have, it feels good to go to, and I put up hand quotes, an office. It's nice to be, you know, valued in that way because you have moments, you know, doing this where you go, what the fuck am I doing? I'm doing every, you know, when I do Plane Thoughts, I wake up on Sunday. If you're familiar, if you're not familiar, I write about everywhere I go to, and I try to be as honest as possible while being funny and to give my just takeaway of the place. But when people started liking it, I said, well, this is another job. And I considered it to be that much. And there were mornings where I would go, what the fuck do I have to say about Nebraska? And I found something to say because I knew that consistency matters. And I do think that those Plane Thoughts could become a show at some point. And, you know, a lot of things you have to do, especially when you're starting your own business or you're entrepreneurial, it's the shit that no one's asking you to do that you have to punch in like it's a job. So, from my perspective, getting to go and do How Low Will You Go and having that be a real thing with NBC Sports and Snapchat and having people say, you know, and having the flights made for you, those are nice things. And it makes you, you know, it makes you feel valued. Like, wow, I'm actually doing something that goes out there that doesn't involve just me. Because, you know, the Patreon, you know, I want you guys to sign up for Patreon. I'm getting 50 DMs a day asking for advice, and it's not from J Train listeners, because the J Train listeners, as much as there are of you, it does feel like the U Up podcast listeners, it's just a bigger group, so they don't know that I have a Patreon, or they don't know that I've kind of harped on it on this podcast, and I do one bonus episode of the podcast every week, and I do blogs as much as I can, and I do personalized advice on patreon.com/JaredFreed. They don't know patreon.com/JaredFreed. They don't know patreon.com/JaredFreed. $3 a month, a podcast every Sunday, $10 a month, personalized advice, $25 a month for a dating app makeover. They don't know that. So they DM me, and they say, hey, Papa JT, help me out. I got this thing going on. Which I know. So I'm getting all those messages and, you know, you're trying, but Patreon becomes your own thing where it's like, hey, I got to make the donuts. I got to pay the rent. I got to have the podcast ready. You know, with Snapchat and with a job that like that, it was nice to be like, oh, I go and do the thing I do. I make fun of people and I make the game fun and I do jokes and then I leave. That felt nice. And of course, I'm going to put it on Instagram stories to promote it because I want people to watch the shit I do and I want it to be... I would do that Snapchat show. I would do How Low Will You Go with the rest of my life. I'm not even bullshitting at all. You kidding me? Consistent paycheck and going to cool places and you know, having a job where you get to be dumb and funny. That's what it's all about to me. So we're here with jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to bang through some emails. That's my plan here. I'm going to go and roll through the emails because I was going to do this podcast on the beach with my parents. And then we had a couple glasses of wine and I was like, I don't know about that one. I don't know if it's going to go the way I wanted it to go, even though it would be interesting and funny. I felt like an alone cast made sense. So I'm going to go through these emails. I'm ready. We got a couple sponsors. I'll get into those. But we're going to get straight into these emails. And you can send in whatever you'd like. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. It's just you and Papa JT. Turn the lights down. Shelby's away. It's just you and I. But Shelby will pop in. I'd love it if he did like a pop in from home. If he just was like, you got that right. That'd be funny. But he's going, you know, he's back at the home base. And I'm going to do this podcast on a little J Train solo edition from the beach in Florida. And you can send in whatever you'd like. I'm here. Let's get into it. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. New York versus LA. And I'm literally just going into the inbox and going straight down the fucking list. And we're going to go as long as we can. Hey, Jared, big fan of your podcast. Think you give great advice and are super funny and relatable. Feathers away. Sending in this question after we DM'd on Insta the other day, I asked if someone from LA, from New York, should move to LA. Oh, yeah. She wanted to know if someone from New York should move to LA. And I mean, if someone from New York should move to LA if they hate the winter. And you told me to send the question in. Interested in your thoughts in general about NYC versus LA, but for more context about me. I'm 23, from Long Island, went to school in upstate New York, live and work in NYC now, so I'm used to the cold. But since I graduated, I realized I could live literally anywhere and don't know why I continue to live through the winter. Most of my family is in the Northeast, but not all. And obviously, most of my friends are here, but not everyone. I work in finance, but I'm definitely looking to not be doing that sometime soon. And I'm pretty confident I could get a decent job if I could I'd find interesting in California. I feel like I should totally just apply for jobs and move there. But I'm nervous that it's not all that it seems to be, and I'll be lonely, have FOMO from everything in the city. Thanks for reading. Super interested in your thoughts. I love this email. I love this email because it's off the course of what we usually do with a lot of dating and relationship stuff. This is like life shit that, listen, I don't know shit about life. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I know how this person feels. I've felt this way. I remember, and I've probably mentioned this on this podcast, I remember sitting in my, like I used to have this cubicle and I used to work selling insurance. And I remember looking at like Google Maps and just zooming in at like towns in Montana, zooming in at a lake and thinking, what the fuck is life like living at this lake? Because I was sure that there was 24-year-old J Train, whatever the equivalent of me, was living there, doing a job with their hands, coming home, having a beer, and then just turning on the TV and living a slower, different, as good a life as me in a different way thing. And that sounds ridiculous because I've never fucking been to Montana. And I once texted this to my buddy Cheese. I once texted my buddy and I was like, dude, do you ever do this? Like I told him, I was open with him. We were, you know, I No, I didn't text him. My buddy Cheese and I were out. He used to live in the Lower East Side, and then he ended up moving. But he used to live near this bar called Horseshoe. We called Horseshoe Bar. I don't know if it's called that, but it was on 7th and B. And this bar was great because it was perfect for when it got cold out. Because, like, you know, you'd see the ice, you know, form around the windows, and you felt like you could really have a drink there and just sit there for the day. So we were sitting there like on a Sunday, getting drunk, and I told him that I did this, and he goes, "Dude, I do that all the time with Maine." And I was like, "No fucking way. You do this all the time with Maine?" He was like, "Dude, I look at Maine and I think, like, why not just move there and open, you know, a canoe making shop, like a handmade canoe shop." And it's two 24-year-olds talking about how awesome it would be to live in Maine with a handmade canoe shop. And neither of us fucking know how to canoe. We don't even canoe. We don't even want to be outside. But we were just thinking of, like, what, you know, what life would be. And what has happened in my, you know, since that time is I do know people who have taken the leap and have moved to the town and have started the canoe shop, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, my friends are owners of Bantam Bagels. And if you don't know Bantam Bagels, it's the bagel balls that are found in Starbucks. They're also found in Costco. And they started making bagel balls with cream cheese in the middle in their kitchen. And they were like, this should be a business. And then they made it into a business, and they worked their fucking ass off. And then they ended up on Shark Tank. And then the business took off from Shark Tank, was in the Starbucks. And now they've, you know, made, like, they just got bought out for a ridiculous amount of money. I don't even know the number, but it's crazy. And it couldn't be happier for them. But they did the thing that that some people sit in a cubicle and think about and never do. So here's what I would say to this girl who's writing in about the differences between New York and LA. Go. It doesn't matter. You have no family. You have no kids. You have no husband. Maybe you have a boyfriend, but fuck it. The world is smaller than it's ever been. Flights New York to LA, if you get ahead of it, are $250. It's not like it was 30 years ago. And you're 23 from Long Island. You got time to make a couple mistakes. Or maybe you'll start Bantam Bagels and you'll make a, you know, $10 million mistake or whatever millions of they just made. I mean, that's the thing. You have time to go, and it's okay to go. And the thing about Instagram and social media, and I feel this a lot. I remember when I started doing stand-up comedy, it's like, you know, I see a lot of comedians that to me, like, and this is speaking honestly, that they feel stuck in being a comedian because there's so much out there. And my advice to her is, don't feel so stuck. LA versus New York, the weather in LA is great. LA is a very livable city thanks to Uber. Before Uber, I would have never lived there. After Uber, you can go to a bar, jump in a car, go home, and not have to worry about where you fucking parked. So, and the food in LA, I wrote it on my Instagram stories, the food in LA is better than anywhere else in the country. Wherever you live, the food is fine, but fuck it. It's not as good as LA. The produce is better out there. There's more chances. And this is kind of back to the advice I'm giving her, where it's like, LA, starting a restaurant in LA, the rent isn't as big. So if you fuck up, that's okay. You don't have to make as much money to get to the next month. Same with this girl. You can fuck up. You got no kids and no husband, no wife. Go try it. If the itch is there, scratch it. That's kind of my advice for her. But but as far as differences, there's definitely the people are definitely more different. There's a way more laid back. It's not going to be. The advice I would give to her is, if you do move, don't be that person that's like, I'm the New Yorker. Everything in New York is better, but I'm living in LA. Fucking live in LA. Be an LA person. Give yourself to the city. My favorite part of that email is, I work in finance, but I'm definitely looking to not be doing that sometime soon. Go. Maybe the change of scenery will make you like finance more. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. It's an alone cast, baby. Papa JT and you, turn the lights down. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. And listen, we're sponsored, baby. Oh, I love this sponsor. This sponsor is so fantastic. It is, you know why it takes, it's a lot like this girl wanting to move to LA. And I want to reiterate, the differences aren't that big. LA and New York are so alike that it's crazy. The rest of the country is fucking different. And plus, you're going to make friends. You're young, probably pretty, whatever. But we all have that thing in us that keeps us from doing the right thing. We're embarrassed. We don't know what to do. I love this sponsor, Roman. I love Roman. They're new to the podcast. Guys are terrible about taking care of their health. This is for the men out there. And we are bad about taking care of our health because, you know what? It's embarrassing to go to the doctor. You don't know what you have or what you don't have. And whether it's a knee injury, back injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it. I get it. Than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of this myself. I had a moment where I had a thing where I was getting these pains in my head. And not pains, but I had like a numbness in the back of my head and I didn't know what the fuck it was. And I remember I called the hospital and I was like, what is this? I got to go to the hospital. There's something with my head. Can I set an appointment? And the woman was like, set an appointment? It's your fucking head. I was like, oh. And I like went and got it checked out and it was fine. But I mean, this is the thing about guys. We don't want to deal with it. We're lazy. I mean, every girl nods their head that deals with us on a dating site. We're very lazy. But the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and treated for ED online. This is great. ED, erectile dysfunction, you might not have it, you might have it, but what's easier than going online and checking for that shit instead of going to a doctor and being like, hey, dude, my dick doesn't work? Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/JTrain. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. Fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. I mean, come on, people. If you're sitting at home being like, am I that guy? Fucking go to GetRoman.com/JTrain. Guys, go online, get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle. But with Roman, it's easy, so easy to take care of. Here we go. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/JTrain. Let me repeat myself. GetRoman.com/JTrain. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. For a free online visit, GetRoman.com/JTrain. There you go. So listen, people. I love that sponsor because just like this podcast, you know, you come to me for the judgment-free zone, the JFZ. This is where you come. You go to Roman, GetRoman.com/JTrain, and you get the JFZ of erectile dysfunction help. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Jared. I'm by myself. Ooh, I like this. Is this considered cheating? Ooh, juicy. Always feathering your nuts, telling my girlfriends about you, listen every week, have shared you on my story, of course. There we go. Sharing on the story is important, people. And stop writing, Jared told me to do this. It takes it away. Because then they go, who the fuck's Jared? Why is he yelling at people? My question is technically considered cheating? I ask because recently my new boyfriend, only together 3 months, thinks I cheated, whereas I think I am a friendly person and we hadn't set proper boundaries. That word, that phrase, friendly person, hits me in a way that I'd be like, eh. You know what I mean? I guess maybe my misogyny is showing through. I've been in relationships with girls. I'm just friendly. I'm being cool. And it's like, what are you getting out of this? This is what happened. He took me on an overnight trip to Miami. Ooh, buenvenido a Miami. At the beginning of the trip, he went to go check into the hotel while I waited in the car. As it happened, some guy was there on the sidewalk. What? And I was inside the car on my phone, looked up when the guy did this roll down window motion. So I did. He asked if that was my boyfriend. I said yes. We proceeded to talk, and he eventually said to take his number. He would get me and my boyfriend into the club. The club is called Story, which I've been wanting to visit. Okay. I don't know whose side I'm on yet. My boyfriend is not a partier, and he doesn't drink, but I figured maybe he would want to go later just to dance or something. The guy and I were talking, so when my boyfriend got back to the car, instantly he was mad and rolled up my window. He didn't handle this right. Later that day, he went through my phone and noticed on my call log, Miami guy. He figured it out and got mad. I tried to deny it first, which was stupid, but I just didn't want to ruin the trip and didn't want to think it was a big deal. Well, you did think it was a big deal. That's why you didn't tell him to begin with. This is all, eventually, I fessed up and explained it was just to get us into clubs later, and I had no ill intentions. This random guy was not my type at all, and I truly had no bad intentions. I'm the type of that is used to Vegas, Miami, LA, partying, where it's just easier to know somebody to get into places, and I don't want to wait in line. Anyways, long story short, he feels like I cheated on him and tells me I'm on probation period right now. He doesn't trust me anymore. I still don't think I cheated, but have promised to never do that again, nor give my phone number away and let him go through my phone whenever. Anyways, do you think that's considered cheating and that I deserve to be on this probation period? I'm debating if I should just end things because he will never trust me or let me off this probation period. Keep up the good work. So I like this email for a number of reasons. What I like is that you have to look inward first, because she made mistakes that guy or girl, this is not a male-female thing. This is mistakes we all make. I like that. Let me start with let him go through my phone whenever. That is the least trustworthy deal ever made in relationships. Whenever someone says you can go through my phone, whatever, to me, I'm like, we'll never trust each other again. Because that to me, and I said this a few times, is showing your right hand. Look at it. It's all my right hand while you're doing something with your left hand. It's just too much. You don't have to go that far with someone that you're with. You don't have to go and say, go through my phone whenever. And it's like, I don't need that. It's kind of like, I mean, I talk about the, I don't know if this relates, but I get the same vibe when someone's like, I get DM'd and people want advice. And I say, hey, I do this on Patreon. They go, well, let me Venmo you $5. And I'm like, that's not what this is about to me. I see Patreon as the next level for our relationship. I'm not looking to have the $5 left on the counter on my way back. The, you can look at my phone whenever feels like the cheap $5 on the counter. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? A random Friday? Okay. Pop quiz. Time to look through your phone. That's not how I'm living my life. So stop with that. The other thing is, you have to, what she should have done, and not to play Monday morning quarterback, and coulda, woulda, shoulda, that's not a good way to go through life, but if we, as a lesson to everyone, he comes in the car, rolls it down the window, take my number, I can help you get in the clubs. When her boyfriend gets in the car, you have the fight right away. Stop waiting to have fights for a worse fight. He getting in the car and rolling up the window in someone's face is rude, and he should trust you more, and he should look at you and know that, because you guys are on a trip together in Miami, that it's okay for you to talk to another man. And he should be able to be an adult and air his grievance with you right now, or be an adult and go, hey, what's up, man? I'm Jared. Nice to meet you. What's the deal? And then you could have gone, Antonio, Miami Antonio is the producer for this club. He wants us to, he's going to help us get us in tonight if that's something we want to do. I figured it was a good option. If you had said that and he was still mad, then I'd be like, well, he can go fuck himself. He has too much pride. He's too self-conscious. But since he got to the car, so if I'm understanding the order of events, he gets to the car, he sees a guy talking to you, rolls the window up in his face. you guys drive away. It's never spoken about. He looks through your phone and then he sees Miami guy. Now we're so far down the river where something is up. And it's why didn't you just say right away, he gave me his number and now to help us get on the clubs? Is it because you were maybe setting yourself up for when this ends to hang out with Miami guy? Is it, and also a lot of his distress probably comes from not being a clubber. He feels left out. He's not that type of guy. So why do you need to be at a club with him? You know what he does. Maybe you guys aren't made to be a match. To me, anytime you're hiding something small and then come back to it and it gets big, it wasn't about the small thing. So why did you hide Miami guy? Why didn't that come up right away? I don't think you cheated. You didn't cheat. That's not what you did. What I'm saying is he feels like, why hold that for me? I got in the car. You know, the fight needs to happen right away. So no, you didn't cheat. But you also didn't handle it right. I think the only way you go back to him, you say, hey, listen, this is ridiculous. I'm with you. I'm enjoying what we have so far. I'm not, you should trust me enough to not have to come back and see a guy talking to me and roll the one window up in his face. You need to be a little bit more confident than that. He gave me his number. I should have just said it right away. I thought it'd be fun for us to go to a club, even though that's not your thing. But I thought because we did it together and we're on vacation, it might be different. If you can't handle that, then we got to break up because that means you're looking for an out. That's another thing. A lot of guys will get crazy offended because they're like, well, this is a good way to get out of this relationship. He might be doing that. But I think you didn't cheat, but there was a process of events that could have been better. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Solo, baby. That's right. We're jumping through these emails. Can they tell me I'm ugly, please? Hello, founding father of Feathering. Love the podcast so much. Keep it up. A straight 5'5'8 with 10 to lose. So the rating system here on the podcast, face, body, personality. She says she is a 5'5'8 with 10 to lose. She sent a picture of herself. I would disagree with her order and her numbers. She's very beautiful and cute. So she writes, so I sent a guy the message below in blue. Okay. We'll get to it in a second. A few months ago, casual flirtation, nothing crazy or noteworthy. We ended up matching on Bumble. I took it upon myself to contact him outside of Bumble. His response is in the gray. Is his response to me asking him out really just guy code for I'm not actually attracted to you and I'm going to give you a bullshit excuse instead? His response is basically is open-ended for someone to believe that in the future he would be down. How the F do I interpret this? Do I accept that maybe he's not interested in me like that and that he was just being a nice guy, or did I scare him with something more serious than it seems? I honestly want to fuck, but didn't want to be so forthcoming. Help. So, okay. So let's see what she sent. She sent it in like such a weird, all right. Okay, so this is bougie of me, LOL. So this is her message. So she didn't send all of it. Here's the problem. She says, can they tell me that I'm ugly, please? That's her title. And then she sends this email about message a guy below in blue. I met him out at a bar a few months ago. Casual flirtation, nothing crazy or noteworthy. We ended up matching on Bumble. So then she sends this text. Okay, so this is a little bougie of me, LOL, but we matched on Bumble. But like sometimes I think Bumble be playing games and that it's just not as legit as we want to believe, LOL. Anyways, I didn't know how to interpret it, but it's Shoot Your Shot 2018. So I guess it was a legit and I wanted to take you out sometime, like casually, haha. And don't feel like pressure to say yes or either. If you don't actually want to, just figured there's nothing to lose here. Here's the problem. Here's the thing. I mean, no, this is a very female thing. women, and I only say this because of the amount of emails that I've gotten that sound like this and the times in my life I've been through this, and I just don't get these emails from guys. Women want to be have their heads chopped off. They want to be told they want a guy. And the problem is with the dating apps is that they're made for men, because men can take a, oh, you're good looking, and just interpret that. And like the swipe is just saying you're good looking to me. So yes, he finds you attractive. Here's the problem. You don't know where he finds you there's a spectrum from, yeah, I'll fuck you when it's easiest for me, to I will do anything to fuck you. And that sounds horrible, but it's the reality. And a lot of women can't deal with that. Instead, women don't want a spectrum. They want, I fucking hate you, die, you ugly bitch, don't ever come near me. Or they want, I love you, you're the goddess of my life, I need you, ooh baby, ooh baby. And that's just not the way life works. It's gray. So I understand. She sends a picture of herself and she wants to know where she went wrong. She did nothing wrong. You went outside of the app is there to create rules and to shield you from the complete honesty that could be out there. She's now looking for the complete honesty. And it's like, you know what? When you do that, you have to respect the idea that he's like, well, I'm not dealing with this shit. I've had that where the girl sends me the message and she goes, you don't have to say yes, but just let me know. To me, it's the same thing as girls DMing me and saying, let's get drinks with private accounts. So I'll get a DM from a girl and it will say, we should get drinks, when she's listened to the podcast. And she knows my voice. She knows the Instagram account. And she's made her decision of, this is someone I would like to see. But then has given me no right to go through that process. All she's given me the right to do, and here's where it becomes the same thing, is to follow the unauthorized, the private account, so that I can look through her pictures and look at her and go, not the look for me. I'm not the type for me. And look at her and go, and then go, hey, I don't think I'm explaining this right, because I've had people say, well, sorry, I'm not even going out with these people. I'm just saying, I've had people message me and they'll say, sorry, I'm private. And it's not about being private. It's about you're not, if I was in a restaurant with blindfold on and you came up to me and went, hey, can I buy you a drink? And then you said, okay. And then I said, well, let me see you first. And then now I'm in a position where I'm a dick. So girls will put you in this position just like this girl has done. And I'm appreciating her listening. And I appreciate her method, because she's like, we matched in the app. I have his number. Why wouldn't I just message him? Well, because you've allowed him no option to be an okay guy and not an asshole. In this situation, he has to be an asshole. He has to ignore you or say, I'll go out with you now because I'm into it. There's no gray. The app allows for the gray where you go, where you like, and you go, you look at her and you go, I don't think I want to go on a date. And then you can leave it. She's looking for chop off my fucking head. And that is like, it's a position women put men in, and then they go, well, don't be such a pussy. And it's like, yeah, we're human. I don't want to tell someone to their face that I don't want, that I'd fuck them, but I don't want to go on a date with them. And that sounds awful. Even saying it now, I kind of get a little cringe. I'm hard, but I'm cringing. I'm just saying that you don't have to answer, but here's what I'm saying. Is the same as, let's get drinks. Sorry, I'm private. Then here's the progression. I follow. I look hot. Okay, let's do drinks. That's the good way. Here's the bad way. I follow. I look. I go, not the look for me. Not my foot. As I say a lot, everyone has a foot. So you're good looking enough for somebody. You're someone's type, but not for me. And I go, I unfollow. They write back, oh, I guess I wasn't hot enough for you. No, just not my type. I'm sorry. Why? I didn't try to be an asshole here. I was trying to be nice. And the thing is, like, I do understand from the female side that, you know, and I've gone over a lot on You Up podcast with Jordana about the nice guys that are actually assholes. I do understand that, but there's a difference between the two. the guy who hooks up with you and says, oh yeah, we should go out, we should go out, we should go out, and then never goes out and ghosts away, that's an asshole. That's a nice guy trying, that ends up being an asshole. But when you come to some guy and make him be an asshole just so you can get him out of your head, but you're putting him through this, you're being kind of a dick. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We have another sponsor. Oh, my God. This is the time you need to get involved with Harry's. You need to get involved with Harry's. Harry's Razors. Guys are very difficult to shop for. And not just the, you know, the men in your life, if you're a woman out there and you're looking to get a gift for somebody that's small, you know, not huge, but not small, something they'll use every day and think about you, Harry's is perfect. And I love what Harry's does. Listen, Harry's taken out the middleman. They've made razors the appropriate price. They have beautiful, they wrap it beautifully so that you don't have to wrap it. And this is things off your list. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to wrap it. It comes ready to be put under the tree. That should be their tagline. Under the tree ready. Gift. Done. Boom. Game over. For your boss, for your person at work, the person that works with you, cousin, brother, stepbrother, anybody in your life. It's just tough. Guys are tough, and guys don't need much. But I know as me, as a guy, the things I use down to the bone. So a thing like a razor, I'll never lose it, but I'll use it 1,000 times. I don't need... You know, if I have a watch, I'll wear the watch 1,000 times. Sneakers, I've been wearing the same sneakers all fall. I need new sneakers, but I'll wear them to the bone. Harry's makes long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's has a 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot, German engineer blades for as low as $2 each. It's a practical gift he'll actually use. I think that's a huge deal. And save him money on the blade refills. This is huge. You can personalize it to make it feel special. Choose a color that's right for him. Now with limited edition holiday handles. Personal engraving options. That's a dad gift. Little Papa Bear on the handle. Love that. 100% quality guarantee. So this is the Harry's limited edition set special offer. Let me read it verbatim because I want to make sure you know the deal. Here's your free money, baby. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partners with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets. Listen, I remember last year the holiday sets ran out. So you better get this now. When you go to harrys.com/jtrain, that's harrys.com/jtrain, $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, those ran out. I would get it done now. That's what when I get something done, cross it off the list. Ooh, that feels good. harrys.com/jtrain, plus you'll get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers. Anyone can use it, and it's only available for the holidays. Each Harry's shaving set comes with ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave. That's a big deal. German engineered 5-blade cartridge that provides a close, comfortable shave. Foaming shave gel for a rich lather. Travel cover to protect your blades. That's a big deal. I've been using that a lot. A handsome holiday gift box. That's huge. Listen, I always talk about making the mailman work for you. Make Harry's work for you. They're wrapping it for you. Or just want something for yourself? Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. So here we go. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends December 12th. So act now. Go to harrys.com/jtrain. harrys.com/jtrain. harrys.com/jtrain to get $5 off a shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/jtrain. There we go. Love Harry's. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We are here. Delray Beach, a solo holiday edition. Let's do this. Hi, Jared. Feather. I've been a longtime listener. I've even brought you up in my therapy. Ooh, okay. I mentioned your quote there, that there's a butt for every seat, and my therapist started laughing. There you go. I recently got more involved with the dating apps. I've always wanted to meet someone IRL in real life through friends at the bar, but that wasn't working, so logged back into Hinge. No shame. I don't hook up my Instagram with my profiles because I'm a teacher. It's just really personal for me. I get that. I don't think people should hook up their Instagram to their profiles. I think it's too much. Too much to assume. You see that, and I mean, as a guy, when I look at the Instagram, I, you know, I would look at it and go, ugh, they do this, they do that. Ugh, I don't want to do that. You put yourself in the shoes of what you're of being the boyfriend, when the reality is you'll do that for someone you like. So when you look at someone's Instagram and you go, ugh, they do pajama parties with their family, it's funny to make fun of, but listen, love will make you do stupid shit. So I can't say that I'm beyond a pajama party, even though I am right now. I don't hook up my Instagram because I'm a teacher, really personal for me. I've talked to a few guys. Within a couple days, they want to know my Instagram username. I know exactly why. To stalk, yeah. But right after I give them the handle, they disappear. So naturally, I stalk my own profile and even ask my friends to do the same to give me feedback. I just started texting with a guy that I'm pretty interested in, but he's asked me for my Instagram. I'm hesitant because I want to go out with him, but don't want to see him to see my Instagram and then ghost. My question is, why do guys do this before a date is even mentioned? Am I overreacting? Is there something wrong with my profile attached to my most recent pics? So here's why guys ask for your Instagram. It's twofold, and it's going to sound gross. I'm sorry. Before, to the women listening, I'm sorry. To say it this way, but this is why you're here, and you know me, you know I'm not a dick. It's a test drive. We want a test drive, looking at your pictures, maybe, you know, punching one out with our, you know, with a little masturbation sesh, and see how our mind thinks of it after the cum comes out. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever said in my entire life, but it's also one of the most true. Do you know how many times I've been like, about to, you know, oh, should I go with this person? Punch one out, and then been like, oh, Jared, where am I? What was I thinking? And it's sad, but this is the thing. There's an article we're going to talk about on You Up about people having less sex than ever. It's because we have the ability to be lazy. Wait till VO porn comes out. I don't think anyone's going to leave the house. And the thing is, she's beautiful. She's, you know, I'm looking at her account. She's good looking. She's dressed up for the holidays. She's got a great Halloween costume. She's cute. She's going to be just fine. But if I were, and she's got friends, like there's nothing wrong with this person emailing. She, even with the pictures she sent, like, listen, what I would do is, so guys ask for it to sit there and think it out while they keep swiping. So, And just like I was just saying before in the middle of the email, you do invent a future with these people when you stalk them. And the only future you invent is the one that makes you too involved or the one that convinces you not to go. So the apps are there to create, see, do we vibe over conversation? The apps are there to first say, am I attracted enough to like or swipe right? And then there to say the next level is to say, do we vibe in a textual way? And then it's to say, well, that was enough for me to go on a date. That's enough. You don't have to send the Instagram. The only reason they ask for the Instagram is to test drive you. Or, and here's the other reason, your profile, and this is a lot for women because when I get sent the profile makeovers for women, a lot of them are hiding in their profile. This woman here, she's cute. That picture of her on Halloween, great pic. The one of her in the, you know, she's got a picture with a mop and a with a vacuum, and it looks like another costume picture where she's got like a sundress on. She looks great. She's a butt for someone's seat. I mean, that's not, but what they're doing is if your profile doesn't have the straight up, this is what I fucking look like pictures, it's people making sure that they're attracted to what they saw in the first place. That's a lot of it too. So I would say to people, and I know this is hard for people to do, listen, I was just at the beach with my family and my mom tried to fucking take a picture with my shirt off and I was like, get the fuck away from me. I don't need this picture. But that's probably the picture that should be on a dating app. That's probably the picture someone should see to go, yeah, that's my type. That big fucking animal. on the beach. So, and listen, we, you know, there's nothing worse than the people that look at you when you, you know, when you say that's a bad picture of me, and they go, well, that's what you look like. And it's like, ooh, eat that fucking pill. So it's twofold. Guys are doing it to sit there and think about it and get, you know, see. And then they're also doing it to make sure that you look like what was presented on the app. Both animalistic, awful things, but both true. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We have so many good emails. Holy shit. I want to do this email because it's called Coworker STD. Especially because GetRoman.com/JTrain sponsored this podcast. Holy fuck, I really fucked up. Quick bullet point. On 2018. In January of this year, I began seeing a girl that lasted for a few months, extremely toxic. In March, I hopped into another girl too at the office, only casual, no serious dating, and I'm still seeing each other once or twice a week. That sounds like you're dating. Girl three joined the office over the summer, and we have hooked up twice since July. We are currently in the early stage of seeing how things go. Oh my fucking God. Girl 2 called me earlier this week letting me know she tested positive for an STD and I should get tested. Went to the doc yesterday, received antibiotics, waiting for test results. It's been at least a month or so since I was with girl 3. How do I break the news to her if positive? Also, how do I do this in the best way possible considering the work aspect? I like this girl, but this could be a total deal breaker. Holy shit. Okay. I don't know why he even mentioned girl 1. It's a dude email. Here's the thing. Listen, in these matters of dating, shit hits the fan. Okay? At a certain point, you got to go to people that, you know, if you're trying to get, you know, he writes with girl three, I'm trying to see how this could go. Okay, time to clean up the backlog. Time to go to girl two and go, hey, I had a great time, but this is over. I'm looking for something more serious and it's not with you. That's tough to say, but just like the girl from before wanted to be told she was ugly, that's not what you're doing. You're saying, listen, good time, not a great time, time to be done. You need to then go to girl two and say, I also just got tested for STDs. I think you should get tested too. I don't know if you've been tested or whatever, but I had been seeing other people and that person. You know, the idea is that you have to admit to the reality you've created for yourself. You created the reality where you're hooking up with someone that is just once or twice a week and has no labels. So she signed up for that reality. If you've never lied about that, you should have nothing to worry about. So she signed up for the reality of once or twice a week with no label. Hey, I used the contract that we have written together and I went and hooked up with someone else. That someone else told me that they have something. You need to go get checked too. The stuff at the office, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone would hear that and go, well, let's blow up this fucking job. Because you know what? They blow it up for themselves too. The reality is you created a world. So it's time to live in the world, admit to the world and say, the world that they're in, that they'd sign up for too. They're adults. Hey, listen, I just found out that someone I hooked up with had something, had an STD scare. I'm getting checked out. I wanted to let you know so that you could get checked out too. Boom. The work stuff is secondary because really people don't walk in their office and go, and he told me he's got an STD and he almost gave it to me. And it's like, no one really wants to do that. People want to work. They want to feel valued. Just like I talked about in the beginning with how low will you go? I want to feel like I have a job. But go, you have to realize the contracts that you've written and admit to them. That's the thing. Sucks. Sorry, not sorry. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let me do one more. We're at the end here. So pumped to have you in a lone edition. Let's do this one. My boyfriend's twin brother is a huge cock block. Okay. I'm a dedicated lady listener. Cue the female listener soundbite. Maybe Shelby will pop in with it. I'm hoping you, Shelby, and honored guest can bestow some wisdom upon me. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 3 years. He is 26. I'm 25. So they started seeing each other when she was 22. He was 23. Lived in NYC the past 2 years, and he has recently moved into an apartment on Long Island with his twin brother. Was so excited when him and his brother moved out of their parents' house. It's funny that, like, to me, dating someone on Long Island from New York City is like the worst thing ever. But for her, it's reversed. She's like, oh, they moved out of their parents' house. Thank God. Moved out of their parents' house so we could finally have an adult sleepovers that weren't just in my apartment. I love his mom. However, she was old school Irish Catholic lady, so him living at home was a real bummer. However, since he has moved in with his brother has become quite the cock block. His brother and I get along great, but his brother has been driving me insane. Here are some examples. My boyfriend and I's dates always have to have been planned. I can never spontaneously say, hey, let's do this, because the twin will say, okay, guys, I'll just be alone. Or my boyfriend will say he feels bad leaving the brother out. Ooh, Debbie Downer. Brutal. That's the worst. Okay, guess I'll just hang here. The brother will walk into my boyfriend's room unannounced or yell, are you dressed, before swinging the door open. And yes, there have been a few occasions where my boyfriend and I have not been decent or dressed. The brother will make comments about me eating their food, but forgets that I have fact that I cook dinner for all three of us most Sunday nights, clean their bathroom every chance I get, and just do some general cleaning while I'm there. I also bring my own alcohol and will do random things that they need for the apartment, even when they don't ask. I'm just being a nice person. Sometimes the brother will just blatantly stare and listen at my boyfriend and I while we are trying to be cute, cuddling, etc., or just having a normal conversation. I shit you not. This is creepy. I will walk by my boyfriend's open door, bedroom door, stop in his tracks, and just stare at us awkwardly. The brother will just walk by my boyfriend's open door, stop in his tracks, and stare at us awkwardly. He will also do this when we're out at a bar with all their friends, when my boyfriend and I try to sneak a quick kiss. All these things make me self-conscious about my actions while at their apartment. And because of this, we really don't bang much as we should while we're there. I mean, come on, we're 25 and 26. He has his own place. We should be doing it like rabbits. I've been made some comments to my boyfriend about this, but all he says is, I know, I'm sorry. My questions are, one, is this weird? This is weird, right? Yeah, it's weird, but I get it. This is weird, right? Here, I'll start with that. The twin brother's lonely. He doesn't have a girl. He's a fucking loser. And his brother's looks just like him and has a pretty girl on his arm. So he's going, what the fuck is wrong with me? And he's kind of studying his brother to see what he should be doing. And he's probably studying him to say, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Every time he's staring, he's probably in his own head being like, what's going on here? I mean, he's not jealous of the brother, but he's jealous of the situation. He wants someone to like him as much as you like your guy. How do I have a real conversation with my boyfriend about this whole thing without sounding like I hate his brother, which I do not at all? If I could help a girl out, I would really appreciate it. Give you good work. Can't wait to see you at the U Up Live podcast in Brooklyn in January. I would say to her, two things. Stop being so nice. Stop cleaning the apartment. Let them live in their own fucking filth. You being nice is creating this debt that you're trying to get paid off. I'm not saying that's a fault. That's a nice thing of you to do. But, and I know you don't want to live in an apartment that, but here's the thing. You don't want to stay in an apartment that's dirty. And I get that. But you need to be better at communicating in the bathroom and all that and cleaning up and cooking the dinners is your first move of letting them know that you don't fucking work for them. They went from the mom working for them, from you to you working for them a bit. So they don't even know how to talk to each other in a way, because the mom used to handle this shit and they never have to deal with it. So here's my advice. Stop cleaning here and there and stop cleaning the bathroom. Stop cooking for them. You cook for your boyfriend, not both of them, okay? Because what you're doing, and I know you don't mean to do this, but you kind of mean to do this, is to create some sort of tab that the twin should be nice to because you're nice to him. Fuck it. You don't owe him shit, okay? Then you go to the brother and you say, hey, listen, I don't know if the staring thing is where you start your beef. The staring thing, that's just him. I think to me, what I think that is him being a little depressed about his own situation. I think you need to be actively looking, since you say you like the twin. Hey, how do we figure out a girl for this dude? Even to just fuck, so he can get his mind off of you. I think that will fix the staring. As far as like the swinging the door open, you need to say to your boyfriend, hey, I feel uncomfortable coming here when he's just throwing the door open. Say something to your fucking brother. That's not you hating him. That's not you not liking him. That's you not liking a certain thing he does. Hey, I want to stay here all the time. I want to stay with you. But your brother keeps swinging the door open. Stop saying you're sorry to me and start talking to him. That's your brother. You can say something. And listen, there's an old thing my dad used to say. And it was a weird thing he used to always say. Fights in the family don't happen because of the family. They happen because of everyone else that's next to the family. The wife, the husband, the whatever, saying, look it, you're getting fucked. And that's not what this is. You're just saying, hey, make it in your terms. So don't make it about him being a loser for not talking to his brother. Make it about you. Hey, when I come over here, I want to be able to get naked in your room. And he keeps throwing the door open. Can you tell him to stop? Makes me feel weird. I want to be able to stay here. I want to be able to fuck you. The more he throws the door open, the less I want to fuck you, the more weird I feel. Boom. But the staring thing, that's him being lonely. I think you got to fix him up with a... You should talk to him about his love life a little bit more. Hey, who are you seeing? What apps are you on? Ask questions. Because that gets people... When you ask questions, it gets people to be vulnerable. Hey, what app are you on? Oh, I'm on Hinge. How's it going? You know, I talked to this one girl, and then, you know, they didn't want to hang out, and then I'm a loser, nerd, twin brother, better. Boom. Now you're in. Well, I know this one girl, she said you thought you were cute. I got a friend of a friend, she wants to go out with someone. Want to go on a date? Just going on a date feels good. Doesn't have to work out. That's her episode. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. So pumped. To just meet so many of you out on the West Coast and to keep this thing going. You can keep sending it in, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Jared Free. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's have a great December. Super pumped. Oh, this comes out on Friday. I'm doing a show at the Comedy Cellar Monday at 10:30. If any of you guys want to come, I think there's tickets left that might be sold out. Go on my website. You can find it there, jaredfree.com. Also doing another show at the Cellar Tuesday with my friends Chris DeStefano, Mo Ammer, and Ricky Velez. We're doing the UN Boys. You get a little taste of each segment of the world. So come on out. UN Boys, that's Tuesday night at the Comedy Cellar at like 9:30 or 7:30 or something like that. Just go to their website. It's called UN Boys. And that's our episode. Also, lastly, New Year's Eve, I'm going to be at Comics Mohegan Sun. That's Comics Mohegan Sun. That's a Connecticut casino. If you don't know what that is, then you just don't, then you're not from there. But if you're from Connecticut, I'll be at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. New Year's Eve. It's a Monday or night. So if you're looking to keep it a chill New Year's Eve, listen, I know that's not for everybody. Everyone wants to do their own thing on New Year's. But if you want a fun New Year's, I think a comedy show is fun. If it's you and a gal, guy and a girl, or just something chilled out that's a little bit not the club scene. So Comics Mohegan Sun, buy those tickets. It would be nice to see people there. And we'll be back next episode. Boom.